Half a day, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
Don't be afraid of the words that you've heard, wherein the servants of the king of Assyria has blasphemed me. Behold, I'm going to send a blast upon him. He's going to hear a rumor and return in his own land. I'm causing him to fall by the sword in his own land.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Heron with today's message.
We will be taking time looking at 2 Chronicles 32, also Isaiah 37. So we'll start in 2 Chronicles 32, 2 Chronicles 32. We'll go to Isaiah 37. We'll finish up in Psalms 46. I mention all these because they're all tied together, and I think it'll make sense when it's all said and done. For the Jews of old, as it is for Christians today, the Psalms, which again is the songbook of the Jews, the Hebrews, God called people that ultimately in his sovereign plan was to expand that to you and I as Gentiles, grafting us in to the promise of truth that I will be your refuge. I'll protect you. I'll guard you. So all through scripture, you'll end up finding that theme. The Jews to the Old Testament became documentation, or if you will, journaled great stories of how God worked in the lives of people. Some of those successes, some of those were failures. So you find through the Old Testament, the journaling, which by the way, today we encourage you to journal as you come and you take notes because you cannot remember everything that you know. Jot it down. That's what the Jews did. And that's why when you find Psalms 46, it really wasn't this secret code, and it was to the history of the Christians very meaningful. But really where Psalms 46 comes from was an event that happened in 2 Chronicles 32. Turn there. Let's just read the story. I'm not going to read every verse, but I think you can follow the storyline of really where we get Psalms 46 and Psalms 47 and Psalms 48. I'm going to go in a little bit of a teaching mode here because those three Psalms, 46, 47, 48, are really what we call a triad of truth. These were all documentation or response to what happened in 2 Chronicles 32. And you remember we're going to flip quickly to Isaiah chapter 37. So we're going to move back and forth. But this is the story that sets up the words in Psalms 46. And I'm going to draw three very simple statements out of Psalms 46. But I hope it'll help you because really, this psalm is a tremendous expression, Christians today, to help us that these same feelings of inadequacy and pressure and one in which we're encircled with great problems become a great promise by God. Look at 2 Chronicles 32 because you will end up finding this is this story that set up Psalms 46 with Hezekiah. 2 Chronicles 32 says in verse 1, after these things, the establishment thereof, that Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, which we would know as modern day Syria, which is in the very north, just probably 60 miles or so, 80 miles north of Jerusalem, came, and they entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. He basically had this military invasion, unwanted, and the north Assyria came down and attacked Judah or Israel. And when Hezekiah the king saw that Sennacherib was come and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city. And they did help him. So he said, there was gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains and all the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, where should the king of Assyria come and find much water? Why did they do that, by the way? They basically shut off all the water sources so if the army was to come down, they wouldn't have any way to get water, and it would slow them down and And that's why they did that. And Hezekiah, do you remember, was a king who was now responsible. He came in at 25 years old. His father was a man named Ahaz. We don't have time to talk through this, but you'll end up backing up a few chapters. In chapter 29, you end up finding Hezekiah was the king. His father Ahaz was a bad man. Ahaz was a wicked man. He was in rulership, leadership. He ends up dying, and his son Hezekiah comes to rule. He becomes a great king. Fact is, look at 2 Chronicles 31, verse 20 and 21. Thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God, and in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, in the law and in his commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart, and he prospered. I mean, it wasn't just scriptural, but it was smart. Hezekiah came from a very bad home scenario, but God used Hezekiah, listen, as only one other greater king, which was David. Hezekiah was a shining star on a very black, bleak background of Israel. So here you end up finding when great things are going on, I mean, God's blessing and prospering, Sennacherib starts attacking from the north. Have you ever found yourself, by the way, good things happening, and all of a sudden, where in the world is this Sennacherib coming into my life? Well, that's what happened to Hezekiah. And now you've got major issues. So notice, we'll continue to read. So in verse 6, he set captains of war over the people. 2 Chronicles 32:6. Notice your Bible. They gathered them together to him in the street at the gate of the city, spoke comfortably to them. And this is what he said. Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor all the multitude that's with him. There be more with us than with him. If you stop there, you think that doesn't make sense. There's more of those in the king of Assyria's army than what Israel had. And notice verse 8. With him is an arm of the flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. He gave a big pep talk. He said, listen, don't worry about them. God's going to take care of us. Verse 10, I skip down here. Thus saith Sennacherib, king of Assyria, wherein do we trust that you abide in the siege in Jerusalem? He has sent a letter via a servant. And now this letter is slandering Hezekiah, slandering God. Fact is, notice verse 16, and a servant spake yet more against the Lord God and against his servant Hezekiah. And he wrote also letters to rail on the Lord God of Israel and to speak against him, saying, as the gods of the nations of other lands have not delivered their people out of mine hand, so shall not the God of Hezekiah deliver his people out of mine hand. Listen, you're in trouble, Sennacherib is saying. I'm going to kill you. And they cried with a loud voice in the Jews' speech unto the people of Jerusalem that were on the wall to affrighten them and to trouble them that they might take the city. And they spake against the God of Jerusalem, against the gods of the people of the earth, which were the work of the hands of man. And for this cause, Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, prayed, and they cried to God or to heaven. What did they cry? Look at Isaiah chapter 37. Turn, if you would, in the scriptures. You say, Pastor, I don't understand all these scriptures. How does this all work? Real simple on this one, okay? Hezekiah is a king. You got an army coming down on him. He's got a prophet named Isaiah, and Isaiah and Hezekiah now realize we're in big trouble. Listen, it would be like taking a Ganya, filling it with all the inhabitants of Guam, and add another, whatever it is, 20, 25,000. You've got all of Jerusalem in Agania, and there's a wall about 2 miles surrounding all of Agania. And you have now another nation coming in, and you have 185,000 skilled, trained, crack soldiers, troops surrounding you. And they are now saying to you up on a wall, listen, you're dead. You're dead meat. That was just a California phrase right there. You're in big trouble. And Hezekiah had just gone around and made a big pep talk. And now you've got all these people saying you're in trouble. Now, the reason this is because Hezekiah's father, Ahaz, bad guy, made an alliance and said, I'm going to pay you tribute. Sennacherib, I'm going to give you money. I'll give you tax. Don't mess with us. That's what he did. When his son Hezekiah was now in leadership, Hezekiah said, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not messing with that. I'm not paying you nothing. And so Sennacherib comes down and says, I can't let this guy just go. And here's this fortified city of Jerusalem. Let's just take this. No problem. There are way more of us than there is of those people there in Jerusalem. Notice what happens with Hezekiah's prayer and Isaiah. This is what happened. And Isaiah said, Isaiah 37, verse 1, and when it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, he rent his clothes, he covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. Verse 5, the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. Verse 6, and Isaiah said to him, thus shall you say unto your master, thus saith the Lord, don't be afraid of the words that you've heard, wherein the servants of the king of Assyria has blasphemed me. Behold, I'm going to send a blast upon him. He's going to hear a rumor and return in his own land. I'm causing him to fall by the sword in his own land. Notice verse 14. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers, Sennacherib, and he read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord, and he spread it before the Lord. He put that letter out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, and he documented his prayer. O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest upon the cherubims, that art the God, even thou alone, of all the kings of the earth. You made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, to hear. Open your eyes, O Lord. See and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which he sent to reproach the living God. God answered his prayer. Notice verse 33. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before with shields, nor cast a bank against it. Verse 36, here you find the answer. Then the angel of the Lord, this is the rest of the story, went forth, smote in the camp of the Assyrians, 185,000, 185,000 of their soldiers. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. They left. He didn't even go back to his hometown. He went to Nineveh. He said, I'm not messing with this anymore. One angel, one night, one point of destruction, which, by the way, I personally think that same similar event is going to happen on a bigger, wider schedule in the future in Ezekiel 38 and 39. To our future, whether that is next year or 10 years or whatever God's timetable is, that event is going to happen before and during our end times. That all of Israel is going to be surrounded by two particular nations mentioned in Scripture, with the rest of nations coming to attack Israel. And at that point, God's going to step in. You can read Ezekiel 30 and 39. God's going to step in and wipe out all the nations. It's going to take them 7 years to clean up the mess from what God, in one moment, is going to destroy the nations of Israel. You say, why in the world is this constantly happening? I read in the Old Testament, why are all these people killing? God must hate people. No, wrong. God loves his children. And God promised, I will protect you and take care of you. So here the Jews, hearing this, all of Assyria now is not going to mess with Israel.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.